It is time to consider, as the Lord may be pleased to help us, words you will find in the chapter of God's Word that we read, the Gospel according to John, and at chapter 10. And we may read again and consider words from the beginning of the chapter. John chapter 10, and from the beginning. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And this parable, we're told, spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. And we might ask who it is that he is addressing in this parable, and who are they, to whom it is more particularly and immediately addressed. It would seem to be connected with the previous chapter, the end of the previous chapter, where we read in the chapter 9 of the man who was born blind and whom the Savior gave sight to. And when he was called to testify, he witnessed to the Savior in a very beautiful way, giving glory to God for it. And they cast him out of the synagogue. They put him out of the church. And he was found later by the Savior. And he was asked, "Dost thou believe in the Son of God?" And he said, "Lord, who is he that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. What a very wonderful power of God and grace of Christ was manifested there. And the Savior would seem to be in the company of others at this particular point. Jesus said in verse 39, "For judgment I am come into the world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." And it is directly in connection with these then that the parable is particularly applicable. He's identifying them as the thieves and the robbers who did not come in by the door into the sheepfold. We find later on that it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And they had come to him. There was a division among them. And many of them said, "He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? These are not the words of him that have a devil." Others said, "Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" They're referring back to that miracle which he performed. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? So this question, who he was and what his claims were, and how long, he said, they said, "Dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." He said, "I told you, ye believe not. Ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." He's referring them back to the parable which he had told them. And so we can see that the parable is in its first and primary use and application addressed to those who are claiming to be shepherds and claiming to be teachers of the people, but are indeed blind. And the blind leading the blind, and indeed more than that, they are described as hirelings who scatter the flock, who care not for them, whose own the sheep are not. When they see the wolf coming, they flee. Again, they're described here as thieves and as robbers. Thieves and robbers. There were multitudes of them in the days of the Saviour, stealing the word of God from men, robbing souls of the precious truths of the kingdom of God. And the Saviour well knows who they are. And all that ever came before me, he's seeing a multitude of them. And he is contrasting himself with them. They were rejecting the good shepherd, the divine shepherd, the one who opened the eyes of the blind, the one who was doing many miracles among them and going about doing good, working the works of him that sent him. And they were rejecting him and challenging him as to his claims, and not prepared to believe it. He was not ignorant of the fact that they were trying to catch him in his words. They were deceivers of the people and deceiving themselves. And he is here exposing them in this parable. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. He had found one of his own sheep, the man born blind. And he had brought him out of darkness into light, from the power of Satan to God, and brought him into a knowledge of salvation. Well, the parable then unfolds to us something concerning what is taking place still in the world. And we are not to be ignorant of the fact that the same sad reality prevails among many who deceive souls for eternity with a gospel that is no gospel, and who proclaim themselves to be shepherds of the flock, and indeed some, that system of iniquity is setting itself up as a universal shepherd of the church of God in the whole world. Well, the Saviour is here exposing all such to view, and giving us a test for the proving of all things. That is, whether they will follow him, whether they enter in by the door. He is the door himself into the sheepfold. There is a way of access into that sheepfold for those who will be the sheep of Christ and those who will take office in the church of God. And the Saviour is leaving that with his church as a mark and evidence of those whom they are to listen to, those whom they are to follow, that is those who follow him and who hear and know his voice. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. But in saying so, he is setting forth the glory of his own office, and the office of Christ as a shepherd. One which we are familiar with in the Bible, and that is what we would desire to speak about in the first instance. Christ's office of a shepherd. And how may we commend that office of a shepherd that Christ has to any here this evening who are unfamiliar and unacquainted with him, who do not know his voice. And what a blessed thing it is that his voice is to be heard. We are familiar with the office of Christ as a prophet, as a priest, as a king in the Bible. Well, we might, if we are not mistaken, we might take all three together into this office, the office of a shepherd. And they are all here in this chapter. Prophet, priest, and king together. He is that great shepherd of the sheep. That great chief shepherd, the one shepherd appointed over the flock, over the sheep, over the church of God. And he is here saying, I am the good shepherd. We might consider that firstly then, Christ's office of a shepherd. Then secondly, to notice something of Christ's activity as a shepherd. He is among his flock and he is describing himself here. The sheep hear his voice and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. That's his great work in this world. And he is engaged in that great work still among his people and in his church and in the world. And then thirdly, we might consider something of the marks of Christ's sheep. That is the great question we are to be exercised in connection with around a communion season and the remembrance of the Lord's death. Do we know the Good Shepherd? Are we among the sheep of Christ? Have we access to that table which he has prepared before them in the presence of their enemies, where he anoints their head with oil and their cup runs over? Are we indeed, in other words, are we indeed those who are following Christ? Do we have the marks of his people upon us? Do we have an evidence tonight that we are among them? A great question. And are you here tonight, and that is not a question that has truly concerned you before, and not a question that has been exercising or troubling your mind? You are, as it were, standing aloof from this great matter, whether you are among the sheep of Christ or not. Or perhaps you're here and you're thinking that here is something I've yet to be convinced of, that the question is of any importance or relevance to me. You're willing for the people of God to be gathered together, and you're seeing them at communion seasons and in the worship of God, and they're seeking to follow Christ. But you're standing aloof, perhaps indifferent to these questions, these concerns. Well, we would say to you tonight, the claims of Christ are the same as they ever were. The claims of Christ on your conscience, the claims on Christ on your life, the claims of Christ upon your following of him, that you would be among his sheep, are set before you in the Word of God as the only alternative to this, that you would be rejecting him, that you would belong to another, that you would be exposed to all the dangers and all the fearful judgments, all the fearful ruin and calamities that will belong to those who do not follow Christ. The world have their own shepherds. They have their own flocks and their own folds. And those who are not in the fold of Christ are in another fold. They're hearing other voices. They're being led by other guides in this world. And that's what the Pharisees were doing. They were leading others astray from Christ. And they were the blind leading the blind. And they were faced with that alternative. They were either for him or they were against him. His claims were plain. He is claiming to be the Son of God. He identifies himself as being the Son of God. The works that he did in his Father's name bore witness of him. But ye do not believe, he said, because you are not of my sheep. You are of that character, rejecting the Word of God and the claims of Christ. And you are destined to that fearful ruin, when the Son of Man shall come and sit upon his throne and judge between men, the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. It's in the light of that we would like to consider then these three things: the office of the shepherd, the activity of the shepherd, and the marks of the sheep. Well, we Can I think of a shepherd? We know concerning shepherds, and the Savior is using the familiarity of the shepherd in Israel as a way to explain to those who were his hearers of, concerning himself, his own office. And there are four things we might identify as necessary for a shepherd. Christ is calling himself the good shepherd. And he is the great shepherd of the sheep. And he is the chief shepherd, the one shepherd appointed over them. And so we might inquire as to what it is to be a shepherd. Well, the first thing is this, that a shepherd must have sheep. That is his great function, the care of sheep. And the care of sheep belong to him and that are under his responsibility. And that is indeed what Christ is saying in his addressing the multitudes and his looking upon the multitudes. You remember in Matthew chapter 9, seeing the multitudes, he was moved with compassion towards them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep without a shepherd. That's his view of the multitudes to whom he was sent, more particularly in his public ministry. He said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And the house of Israel was the sphere of his labor, where the work of his ministry was to be performed. And we might well think that he's taking in the whole scene, the whole multitude of them who were under, as it were, under his eye. And he's seeing them all in this light, fainting and scattered abroad. Many of them, the very kind of people exposed to these false shepherds, these Pharisees and scribes and rulers of the people who had scattered the flock, fleeing before the wolf, we might say, hirelings scattering the flock whose own the sheep are not. And here is the Savior looking upon them with that compassion, with that tenderness and pity. And he is saying, these have no shepherd. You remember that's what the prophet Micaiah said in the days of King Ahab, when King Ahab was inquiring about going up to Ramoth-Gilead to battle. And Micaiah said, I saw Israel scattered upon the mountains, as sheep having no shepherd. And I said, these have no shepherd. The Savior is, as it were, alluding to that. Just as Ahab was a deceiver and one who had led the people astray, who had turned them away from the God of Israel, so this company of Pharisees and rulers of the people had scattered the flock of Israel. And they were found now scattered, lost and ruined and perishing. And indeed that's the general view, the large view that the Bible takes of sinners in this world. And he's saying himself later on, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold of Israel, this fold of the Jews, where my present labors are. As it were, lift up your eyes and look. The harvest, as he uses another figure, is truly plenteous. The folds, the flocks are truly plenteous. There are multitudes of them throughout the world and throughout the generations of the world. He has an eye, as it were, upon generations unfolding before him, generations of men down through the history of the world, a multitude looking upon the multitudes. They are fainting and scattered as sheep without a shepherd. And the people of God were among them and are among them. And they have the same character, and they had the same character as the men of this world. And that's how they speak in Isaiah's prophecy. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And that's what the sheep of Christ, that's who the sheep of Christ are then. These are the ones that he has his eye upon. They are fainting and scattered abroad. They are sheep without a shepherd. He describes them, the Bible describes them in their various conditions. In Ezekiel's prophecy in chapter 34, there were those who were driven away, there were those who were lame, there were those who were sick and diseased, there were those who were scattered and fainting, and with no shepherd to gather them on the mountains of Israel, a prey to the wild beasts. That's the picture. And the Savior is identifying sinners of mankind in that light. The Bible identifies them thus. And it is of such that the Savior is speaking when he says, he calleth his own sheep by name. He has been given sheep from among such to be a shepherd of them. He has that commission. That's the second thing. He has authority to be a shepherd. Not only has he sheep, but he has authority to be a shepherd over them. The Father, he says, has given them to me. Those whom the Father has committed into his care and into his hands, to be a shepherd over them, to be their shepherd. He has authority from the Father to be the shepherd of the sheep. And he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And that's what he did himself. He came into this world at the sending of his Father. He came into this world to be the shepherd of the sheep, given to him by the Father from eternity, an elect people chosen before the foundation of the world, known to God from the foundation of the world, to be gathered out of the lost and ruined race of mankind, and given to Christ, and Christ coming into this world to be their shepherd. Well, the commission, the authority which he has, is that which he is qualified to fulfill. That's the third thing concerning a shepherd, that he has to have qualifications suitable to the great office which he is undertaking. And that's what Christ has in his great work given him to do. He is qualified to engage in that office. And he has a work to do to gather souls into the kingdom of grace. He has a work to do to gather those who are scattered and who are enemies to God in their hearts, and those who are strangers to God and who are wandering from him, those who are lost sheep. He has the qualifications to gather such into his fold. He has a purpose. As he says in this chapter, there shall be one fold and one shepherd. He has this qualification that he must have to give his life for his sheep. And he laid down his life for them. It's not that we're to think of men simply and merely as those fainting and scattered and lost and perishing. But because they are men, the sheep of his pasture are men. They are those who are guilty of transgression. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. They have transgressed the holy law of God and are vulnerable to a sword of justice, to the punishment due to sin, to the wages of sin, which is death. And the qualification of the shepherd, therefore, is that he must lay down his life for these sheep. Therefore, he saith, doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. This is the great qualification which the shepherd and the bishop of the souls of men has. And we're told that the porter openeth to him. The porter openeth to him, having the commission and the qualifications. He must now, fourthly, engage in his work. He must go about this work. He must undertake to do it. It's one thing to have a sheep committed. It's one thing to have a sheep to be gathered. It's one thing to be qualified. But here is one who came into this world to do his Father's will, and who came to give his life. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And the porter openeth to him. To him the porter openeth. We might ask, who is the porter? What is the work that the shepherd must engage in? He must take the nature of his people. He must take their nature into union with his divine person. He must enter into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And that is what he engaged to do in the everlasting covenant of grace to come. And that is what he came to do in his public ministry. And so when he entered into that function of his public office and ministry as the great shepherd of the sheep, we read concerning him that a voice came from heaven when he was baptized in the river Jordan, which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is the good shepherd of the sheep, the one whom I have appointed, the one who is qualified, the one whom I have sent into the world. This is my beloved Son. Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, "Thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God." He is identified by his Father. He is identified from heaven as the Son of God. This one is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. He is the great shepherd of the sheep, whom I am well pleased with. That's the voice of the porter, speaking from heaven, opening the door to Christ, to engage in this great work that was given him to do. And so he came to give his life, to lay down his life for the sheep, to give his life a ransom for them, to purchase a people. Not only to receive them as the Father's commission and authority to gather a sheep, a flock of sheep for himself, but to purchase them, to pay a ransom for them, to come under the strokes of divine justice. As the prophet said, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished?" He engaged in this office. He undertook the responsibilities that belonged to it. And he purchased his people. He purchased them by laying down his own life for them. And he ascended up into heaven. That's another view we might take of the porter opening to him. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. He ascended up to his throne to sit at the right hand of the majesty in the heavens. That glorious accomplishment which he accomplished outside Jerusalem, at Calvary's accursed tree, was received and accepted by the Father in heaven. That offering and sacrifice for sin, that great shepherd of the sheep, who through the blood of the everlasting covenant satisfied divine justice and gave himself a ransom, paid the ransom price. That sacrifice is accepted in heaven. And he ascended up into the right hand of the majesty in the heavens. And there he sits, the great shepherd of the sheep, the chief shepherd, who will appear at the end of the world. When the chief shepherd shall appear, he will give a crown of life to those who are his servants, to those who are following him, to those who are his people. And he is there acting as the shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. And it is his glorious work to gather a people out of this world. And he is engaged in the work that his father gave him to do still. He is there as the great shepherd of the sheep. They were seeing him preaching the everlasting gospel among the Jews and in Galilee and Judea. And he was to be taken up into heaven. And he told them that he would come again. And the purpose is that he will have one fold and one shepherd. That there will be one fold and one shepherd. And that's the great view which the Bible gives us of the history of the world. Christ coming into this world in obedience to the will of his Father. And having performed the great work of atonement, he ascends up to sit at the right hand of power. And he's going to return to gather all his people together. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me. This is the great delight of heaven, the great delight of the Father. I and my Father are one. The Father knoweth me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. That's the one who is set before us in the word of God, commended to us, the Jehovah who is our shepherd. And the people of God have come to know who he is. They've come to see the glory of his person, the glory of his office. And they're saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I have no lack. There's no fear that I need to have in this world if the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, who is Jehovah, the everlasting Son of the everlasting Father, and the good shepherd who gave his life for his sheep. And he has a love to his flock. He has a love to his sheep. He has an eye upon every one of them. He knows their names. He has been given them. He calleth his own sheep by name. The great work of Christ is to be performed then in this world of gathering in his elect people whom he has paid the ransom price for. And that's the great work that is going on in this sinful, lost and ruined world. And it is a great work. That brings us then to the second matter, Christ's activity among his sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. That is what he said when he came, and he sets before us the pattern which he will follow in all the history and all the ages of men. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know you have it in the Gospel according to Luke. And in chapter 15, when the Pharisees and the publicans and sinners were gathered together to hear him, and they murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spoke a parable and said unto them, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and goeth out after that, to seek after that which is lost. That's the great work of this, the shepherd of the sheep, going out to seek that which is lost. From among the lost sheep on the in a fallen world, ignorant of them, many of them at this point, who never knew him, who never heard of his name, and his ambassadors were to go out. He was to commission them in his name to go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. And the porter was to open to them as well a door, a great door and effectual, among the Gentile nations. And he is to find his sheep among all nations of the earth. Just as he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, confined within the borders of that nation, so he is sending his servants into their own sphere of labor and opening a door of utterance to them and opening a door of opportunity to them and sending them forth in his name to publish his gospel, to preach the same tidings of a Savior, of a shepherd, to redeem, to save, to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's the work of the office of the ministry of the gospel, which has come to you. In this congregation, the Lord has appointed you a shepherd, an under-shepherd, who has come in by the door into the sheepfold, entereth in by the door, who is the shepherd of the sheep, and the porter openeth to him. He is commissioned by the great head of the church to call sheep, to call the sheep. The ministers of the gospel do not know who the sheep are. They are to be found in all nations of the earth, and they are to be found in all places of the world. And their condition is the same ruined condition as the Savior found men in, dead in trespasses and sins, and walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience, among whom they all had their conversation in times past, fulfilling the lusts of the flesh and the desires of the flesh and of the mind, by nature children of wrath, even as others. That's who they are, and that's where they are, whom Christ sends his ambassadors to, and whom Christ, in the glorious office of the shepherd, seeks and saves. He calls his own sheep by name then. He sends his word to make known to them their lost and ruined condition. That is what he promised to his disciples before he left them. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He will use the law of God. He will employ the claims of the law of God to convince men that they are sinners against that law. And he will show them the terror of that law, that judgment is threatened against all transgression and disobedience to the law of God. And he will show them by the law the fearful looking for of judgment, which will overtake those who are walking according to the prince of the power of the air, who are going according to their own lusts and their own desires of the flesh and of the mind, who are children of wrath. The law, by the law, is the knowledge of sin. And when the Holy Spirit, accompanying the word of God, convinces men of their sin and their lost and ruined condition, they are like the people of God describe, and how they describe their case in Psalm 116. of death the cords and sorrows did about me compass round. The pains of hell took hold on me, I grief and trouble found. And that is the condition which the glorious gospel of divine grace is a good news indeed to a perishing sinner who is ready to perish, who is like a lost sheep going astray, who is stumbling on dark mountains, who is ready to perish. And what a fearful plight sinners are in, who are strangers to the danger that they are exposed to, who are wandering in this world without God and without hope, and who have no resting place, no place of safety, no place of deliverance, and who are wandering farther and farther from the fold, the sheepfold of Christ, who are refusing and rejecting him in the gospel. They are met with the terrors of the law of God and the claims of the law of God upon them. And such, the Saviour says, them also, he says, I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. Them also I must bring. And he is calling them by their name, exposing to them what their true condition is, and setting before them the glorious opportunity, the glorious provision that is made for such sinners in the gospel. The voice of Christ in the gospel, addressing sinners, is that which he proclaimed in the ears of the multitude on whom he had compassion, when he was seeing them as sheep without a shepherd, fainting and scattered abroad, when he was seeing in the generation in which he was living, sinners blinded by sin, ruining themselves, destroying themselves. And that voice of the shepherd was, and is, and ever shall be, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And that sound of the everlasting gospel, that voice of Christ in the gospel, is what the Holy Spirit, when he has come, convinces men of. Judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. He is convincing the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment by the gospel, showing to them the provision that is made in the gospel for sinners through the righteousness and finished work which he has performed, and the destruction of the great enemy Satan, the power of sin and the power of Satan, overcome by this glorious shepherd, this glorious shepherd of the sheep, who gave his life a ransom for many. And it's that gospel that is extended in an invitation to sinners, when the voice of Christ is heard, and when the invitations of the gospel are extended to them. Incline your ear, he said, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Well, he draws them by his grace, and he makes them willing to come to him. And that's the effectual call of the gospel, which Christ puts forth with a divine quickening power, awakening those who are spiritually dead, and quickening them, dead in sins. God, who is rich in mercy, For his great love wherewith he loved them, even when they are dead in sins, hath quickened them together with Christ, and by grace they are saved. All that the Father giveth me, he said, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And the gospel was made precious to the sheep of Christ. They hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And they shall never perish who put their trust in the righteousness and finished work of Christ for their salvation. They shall never perish. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Being justified by faith, they have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also they have access into that grace wherein they stand. I give unto them eternal life, a new heart and a right spirit he puts within them. He draws them unto himself. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And the drawing of the Holy Spirit in effectual calling issues in this, that they are brought into the fold. They are brought into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as a shepherd. They come under his rod, into the bond of his covenant. They are brought into under his care. And so they are brought into the fold of his church, and to the place where they are under the ordinances of his word and under the ordinances of his worship. And the psalmist speaks of that. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And he leadeth me in the paths of, he maketh me to walk in the paths of righteousness, even for his own name's sake. And that's the great work of Christ, the activity of Christ in leading his sheep, leading them out. Leading them out into green pastures and beside still waters. And giving them spiritual food convenient for them. Putting a shield and defense about them. When he sees the wolf coming, he does not leave them. They are not scattered. But he meets that enemy, that foe, and defends them. And that is what the Savior is identifying with his own office. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. He putteth forth his own sheep. Whatever providence they are called to meet with in this world, whatever afflictions, whatever trials and difficulties they are met with, the Lord, he says, the Lord is their shepherd. He putteth them forth. He sends them to the providences which they are required to meet, and what is to work together for their good, what is to be for the increase of his flock, the strengthening of his flock. They feed in green pastures beside still waters, and they feed in the mountains of Israel. And he gathers them who are broken, who are bruised, and who are lame and afflicted. He feeds them. He heals those who are sick and diseased. That is the work and office of this shepherd. And the lame and the sick and the blind are attended to by him. And they know his voice. They know his voice. And the great work that he is engaged in is to gather them so that they will be brought at last to the one fold in heaven. And whatever they meet with in this world is working for their good. And the communion table is intended to fit and prepare them for the kingdom of heaven. a table thou hast prepared before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be. And such then are the sheep of Christ under his care and under his government. By the good skill of his hand, he wisely governs them, taking them out of this world at death to be with himself. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Well, the question for us tonight is, are we among them? Do we have the trust in the shepherd that the sheep have? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The mark of the sheep of Christ is that they follow him. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. They have come to learn what the voice of Christ is in the law, and they've come to know what Christ's voice is in the gospel. And they follow him. They follow him. Every duty that they have in this world is to be addressed and approached in that light. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And his language to his people in every circumstance will be, follow me. What shall this man do? What shall that man do? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. And he is bringing them to the knowledge of his voice in this, that they know his voice in times of trial and persecution and affliction and trouble for his sake. They are able to distinguish, they are called to distinguish between his voice and the voice of strangers. When those would come to turn them aside from following Christ, they will be hearing the voice of Christ, as he said to his church in the Song of Solomon, if thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. And whatever trouble will meet with the church of God in this world, Christ is a place of safety for them, a place of refuge in his word and in his ordinances, and to abide close by him and to keep close to his people, to abide by the shepherd's tents is their calling, until he takes them out of this world to be with himself. They are kept by his power. No man takes them out of his hand. The Father who gave them to him is greater than all, and none is able to pluck them out of his Father's hand. My sheep, he said, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. O gracious one, have mercy upon us, and show us our great need of Christ, the one who is the shepherd and bishop of the soul. And may we be delivered from this present evil world, and called by thy grace into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and preserved to thy heavenly kingdom. Grant us the marks of thy people, that saving faith and repentance unto life, and that walk in new obedience, to be following Christ whithersoever he goeth. Bless thy word among us at a communion season, prepare us for holy duties, take away our sins in thy worship. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us conclude by singing in Psalm 23. to God's praise, Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make within the paths of righteousness, even for his own name's sake, and so on to the end of the psalm. The Lord's my shepherd.